Thank you all. Thank you, Rob. He's always so excited, and I'm just like a little bit less excited, but I'm still excited to be here with you. He drinks more coffee than I do. I'm trying to taper down my coffee intake, but I'm excited to be here with you. I'm one of the pastors here and excited to share with you on this topic of service this morning. And I wanted to start by sharing one of the first lessons that I learned on this topic of service when I became a Christian. I didn't grow up in the church. And so my kind of early church experiences were going with my stepmom. My parents were divorced when I was young. I would go spend some weekends sometimes with my dad and stepmom, and she would take me to church. And so my earliest memories of church were going with her. And the best part was that I couldn't, you know, was waiting for at the end was the cookies and the red punch afterwards. Who remembers those days? Some of you, those early church days. Red punch, we got rid of it because, you know, it stains floors and makes messes. And then you have that nice, like, red mustache the rest of the day. It was kind of the mark of, all right, I went to church today. And I wore it proudly as a kid. And that was kind of my only real experience going to church as a kid. Never was part of a youth group or anything like that. And then when I was 18, my mom and my stepdad moved to Colorado. And my mom started going to this church out there in Colorado. And she came home with the bulletin one day, and they had this position for like a maintenance host person that would set up rooms and kind of help outside groups. It's a larger church, about 2,000 people at that time. And so my mom brought this part-time. I was going to the junior college, and I thought, oh, this will be a great opportunity. I'm sure the people are really nice there, flexible schedule. I can set up rooms and do that. So I took a chance. I applied. Well, really, they took a chance, and they hired me, not really a follower of Jesus at the time. They gave me this opportunity. And so I began working there at this church and meeting some wonderful people and kind of getting to know people. And so I'd go around and I'd set up these rooms. And one of the things that I would do is I had keys, right? So I was kind of an important person. So I had keys, and they had this awesome youth center there. And so what I would do is I would gather some of the youth kids and I'd say, hey, come help me set up, and then we'll go play basketball in the gym. That was kind of my way of getting help and also getting to play basketball and have fun. So I'm doing this for a while at the church, and it's going on. And then about a month or so later, 2 months later, the youth pastor called me in his office, and I'm like, oh man, I'm in trouble. He's on to me. He sees me like using his kids and, you know, my little workers out there doing my work for me. So I'm like, I'm caught, you know, I'm in trouble. Well, little did I know that opportunity, that day in his office transformed my life and changed my life forever. In that day, he led me to Christ and shared with me about God's love and who Jesus was. And he led me to the Lord that day in his office. And it changed my life forever. And so that night, that very night, he invited me to the youth night. And so this was my first like youth group experience. I was about 18 at the time, never involved in a youth ministry or anything like that. And so I go to this youth night, and it's just amazing. I'm having a great time. I think I'm having more fun than the kids that I was supposed to be there kind of hanging out with. And little did I know that you can get paid to be a youth pastor. This is awesome. Like, this is a job. I started talking to him saying, hey, how do I do this? Found out later, as Saquon knows, there's much more to youth ministry than just playing games and hanging out with kids. There's a lot of tough stuff that goes on. But anyway, that led me to do an internship with this man who changed my life and transformed my life. And so I'm excited. I'm fired up. The first day as an intern, I go in. I'm ready. I'm like, okay, I'm going to learn. I was excited. What's he going to teach me? What am I going to learn from him? What are we going to do today? And he hands me a pair of rubber gloves and a toilet scrubber. That was my introduction to ministry right there that first day, and this lesson on service that changed my life. And so what he had me do was go around that day and basically clean every toilet on campus that day. And this was a large church, about 2,000, so bigger than our church. So I spent the first couple hours scrubbing toilets on my first day as an intern. But that experience and that lesson that he taught me that day has helped me in ministry and changed my life forever. Although it hasn't always been easy, and it's not always easy, as we'll talk about, to be a servant, that lesson has stuck with me now for 25 years, and it's helped me in ministry. And so this morning, I want to look at what it means to be a servant. In the past, I've talked about this topic before, and mostly focused on the different ways that we can get involved in serving. But I want to take a little different approach this morning and really talk about the heart and the attitude and the mindset that comes with being a servant. One of my favorite books when it comes to service and servant leadership is a book by a man named Henry Nouwen called In the Name of Jesus. It's Reflections on Christian Leadership. It's part of our summer reading series. If you got that article in our newsletter, it's on there. It's one of the books. It's a short little read, but I highly, highly recommend it. It has spoke to me so many times in my life. Well, in the book, Nouwen covers three temptations that we as leaders and people who are serving others face in leadership. And in case you're wondering, all of you are leaders. All of us have influence in some way or another. And as Rob said, around here we call them difference makers. And we believe everyone is called to be a difference maker. And in the book, Henry Nouwen, after 20 years in his academic field, he was a teacher of pastoral psychology, pastoral theology, Christian spirituality at Harvard for 20 years. And so this is a smart guy. He's got a lot of credibility. He decides to move in to the La Arche community, which is a community for mentally handicapped people. And from the outside, it seemed that Nouwen had it all together, that he was successful, that he was relevant, but he was missing something on the inside. And so after 20 years, he decides to move into this community and shares in the book before going how he relied mostly on his credentials, on his accomplishments, his accolades. And when he got there, he realized that none of this mattered at all. Listen to what he says about it in the book. I want to read a quote to you. He says, "Not being able to use any of the skills that had proved practical in the past was a real source of anxiety. I was suddenly faced with my naked self, open for affirmations and rejections, hugs and punches, smiles and tears, all dependent simply on how I was perceived in the moment. In a way, it seemed as though I was starting my life all over again. Relationships, connections, reputations could no longer be counted on." He goes on to say, "This experience was, and in many ways is still, the most important experience of my new life because it forced me to rediscover my true identity. These broken, wounded, completely unpretentious people forced me to let go of my relevant self, the self that can do things, build things, and force me to reclaim the unabandoned self in which I am completely vulnerable, open to receive and give love regardless of my accomplishments." And then he says this, "The great message that we have to carry as ministers of God's word and followers of Jesus is that God loves us not because of what we do or accomplish, but because God created us and redeemed us in love, and he's chosen to proclaim that love as the true source of human life." And this is the mindset that I want us to think about this morning as we look at the scriptures and what Jesus teaches a couple of his disciples about this topic of service and servanthood. So turn with me in your Bibles to Mark 10. Mark chapter 10 will be on the screen as well. Verses 35 to 45 we're going to look at. Mark 10, 35 to 45. It says this, "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. 'Teacher,' they said, 'we want you to do whatever we ask.'" I would have been pretty upset if I was Jesus if they asked me that, by the way. "But Jesus replies, 'What do you want me to do for you?' he asks. They replied, 'Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in glory.' 'You don't know what you're asking,' Jesus said. 'Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?' 'We can,' they answered. Jesus said to them, 'You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared." When the other 10 disciples heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." And here we have another example of Jesus flipping what the world does with how we are supposed to live. And Jesus says, verse 43, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so what I want us to look at this morning when it comes to serving first is this wrong attitude when it comes to service. And that wrong attitude is one word, and that's pride. What we first see in these verses is that there was a wrong attitude that they came to Jesus with. In verses 37 and 38, James and John asked if they could sit at Jesus' right and left hand. These positions on either side of the king's throne, especially the right side, were the most prestigious in the kingdom. What a bold request that they asked him for. They have this sense of pride that can become extremely dangerous. Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you ask." He basically told them that he wasn't the one who was to grant these positions in the kingdom, that only God the Father could do that. And in verse 38, Jesus asked them if they were able to drink the same cup and be baptized with the same baptism that he was going to be facing. And what Jesus is talking about here in the cup is a metaphor for the suffering that he was about to go through on our behalf. And the baptism, what he was going to be plunged into, and all that he would face on the cross for us and all of history. Jesus did a service to mankind that can never be repaid, and he saved us all from that death that we deserve by his act of service. And so James and John obviously didn't understand what they were asking. And I think sometimes for us, when it comes to our lives and when it comes to serving and leadership, sometimes we want that prestige. Sometimes we want that recognition. We want to be seen or known for what we do. We want the right and the left position, the top positions, if you will. Otherwise, we may not even bother to get involved. And so when it comes to serving, one of the first things for us to really check and look at is our pride. Are we serving for us to get the glory, the recognition, the prestige? Or are we serving because it is what God has called us to do, and he ultimately gets the glory? In the book I was referring to earlier, Henry Nouwen deals with this so well, and he calls all leaders to be humble servants, to do those things that may not always be recognized or noticed. And Jesus says it this way in verses 43 and 44. He says, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all." Jesus is telling them and us that the real leader has a servant heart, willing to help others as needed. And so next I want us to look at, why be a servant? Why be a servant? The first thing is that it is commanded by God. It is commanded by God. All throughout the scriptures, we see this topic of service come into play. Scripture calls us to a life of serving others and serving God. Just a few examples. In Luke 4:8, Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness, and the devil tempts him to have all authority and splendor, that he can have it all if he just bows down to worship him. And Jesus responds by quoting from the Old Testament, so we see this importance of service all throughout, even in the Old Testament. Jesus responds by quoting from Deuteronomy, and he says, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And then Jesus, later on in his ministry, shares an example of himself and his attitude of service. And I'm sure there's many, many other stories that we see in the Bible, and probably some that weren't even recorded in the Bible that Jesus did in acts of service. But this one in Luke 22:27, Jesus shares his example, and he says, "For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table?" And then Jesus flips it again and says, "But I am among you as one who serves." Our serving others and serving God is our spiritual act of worship. When we serve, we are demonstrating truly what we believe and who God has called us to be, and we become the type of followers that he's looking for. And so it's commanded by God. And second, it demonstrates love. Serving demonstrates love. By serving others, we are demonstrating Christ's love to an unbelieving world. And the world around us doesn't fully understand why we love each other and why we care for each other the way we do. And it's a great example to show God's love to others. When I was doing youth ministry, one of the fun nights that we would do every once in a while, we would just do these random acts of kindness nights. And so what we do, we gather the students together and we break them into groups of about 5 or 6 or 7, get them a leader, and we give them a few dollars, and we'd send them out in the community. We wouldn't give them any kind of ideas or anything like that. They were to come up with it, and their job was to go out and just bless others randomly, these random acts of kindness. And so then they would come back, gather in our gym, and they'd come back, and we'd have each group kind of share what they did. And it was amazing to hear not only what they came up with, but also the reactions of people when they were just blessed randomly. And so we had one group one time that went to Ralph's shopping over here, and they decided to buy some flowers. And they bought as many as they could with the money they had, and they just handed them out to people as they came out of the store. And they helped them load their groceries. Another group went down to the car wash, and they, you know, put the money in, and they washed the cars. I'm sure some people were mad because they probably wanted to do it themselves. But they were still blessed by this amazing opportunity. And so it was just interesting to see the reactions and how much they would share. People just did not understand why we were doing this. And so serving demonstrates love to an unbelieving world. And third, it brings hope. Part of God's desire is for us to bring hope into other people's lives. And serving gives us a platform to do that. Each year, one of the things that we do as a church is we participate in the Love Fullerton Serve Day. And I get to be a part of the planning and some of the big picture ideas for this Love Fullerton Serve Day. And it's just a one-day opportunity to go out for about 3 hours, maybe 4 hours, to go out and just bless the community. And one of the things we always talk about is we're like, is this worth it? It's just a one-day kind of thing. But what it does is it opens up so many opportunities to bring hope to the community. To have over 2,000-3,000 volunteers come out says something to our community. It says something to the schools that we get involved in, to the parks that we clean up, and the people that work in our cities. And so we want to be a part of that. We want to bring hope to this community and to our world. And that's what serving does. And so next, what does being a servant look like in the practical sense for us on a day-to-day basis? What does being a servant look like? The first thing is that it puts others first. It puts others first. Rick Warren shared a quote in his famous book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and it said, "Unfortunately, a lot of service is often self-serving. We serve to get others to like us, to be admired, or to achieve our own goals. Thinking like a servant is difficult because it challenges the basic problem of my life, that we are by nature selfish and think mostly of ourselves." I love how he just hits you right there with that, because that's often the truth, is it's easier to think about ourselves than oftentimes the needs of others around us. And so service helps us to change that mindset to put others first. And this ties into the next point, because point number two is that service is not always convenient. I've shared before that I'm a planner. Rob knows this now. I like to have things planned out. I like to know what's going on. And serving and opportunities that come up sometimes and quite often disrupt my plans. And I get frustrated by that, to be honest. But I know in those moments and the times I can look back and when I have put my plans aside and focused on what God had in that moment, not always convenient, I've seen God at work. I've seen God's blessing in those times. And so it's not always convenient for us. It's not always going to fit into our schedule. But when we step out in those times, we truly see God at work. Third is that it's not always recognized. Have you ever been in a meeting or come up with an idea and then someone else shares it in the meeting and you're sitting there thinking, that was my idea. I came up with that. And you just don't get the credit for it? Yeah, it's probably happened to all of us, right? Service sometimes is the same way. We don't always get recognized for what we do. But we're honoring God in what we do, and we're serving Him through that. And God sees our heart, and God sees what we do in that. And I encourage you as well, if you see someone doing something, encourage them, because what that does is that inspires them to keep on serving and to keep doing more. And so it can be recognized, but sometimes it's not. And that shouldn't discourage us or deter us from serving. And then fourth, it takes action. Being a servant takes action. There's many different opportunities and avenues to get involved and to be a difference maker here at Wilshire Avenue in our community and in our world. And I've shared in the past some of those things, but if you're interested and you want to get more connected, I would love to share with you more about that. That's part of my new role here at the church, is to help people get connected in those areas and see what God is doing and to help align you to those things of what God is doing. And so I'd love to share with you about that. But even more, we at Wilshire want to have people and to be a people who live a lifestyle of service. That serving is not something that we just do on Sunday morning or once a week during the week and kind of check it off of our calendar, but it becomes a lifestyle that we live. It becomes an attitude and a heart that we have of serving. And we see how Jesus gave His life for us. And so we're called to give our lives in service to Him. And so a few next steps if you're interested in getting involved and stepping up and serving and helping out in some different areas, a few next steps that you can begin to think about. If you haven't already, I encourage you to take our SHAPE test that we have. It's an online test. You can go to wilshireav.com/gifts. And what this test does, it's not an end-all be-all, but it just kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of how God has shaped you, how God has wired you to possibly get involved in some different areas. What are some of the abilities that He's given you? What are some of the talents? What are some of the experiences that you've had that God can use as you begin to figure that out and serve more with Him? So I encourage you, if you haven't taken that test, go online, wilshireav.com/gifts. You can take that, and that'll be a great start for you to figure out some of these areas that you can serve. Next is to come to one of our Growth Track classes. We've started some new Growth Track classes to help people get connected here. And so even if you've been around at Wilshire for a while, we'd love for you to come. One of the things that I do in that class is explain a lot of the different, actually all the different opportunities and ways that you can be a difference maker here at Wilshire Avenue. So we talk about our children's ministry. We talk about our youth ministry, our food bank, ushering, greeting, worship team, all the ways that you can be involved in what God is doing here at Wilshire Avenue. We also talk about all the ways and the things that God's doing in our city, in our community. And so we have some great partnerships with some nonprofits where God is using and blessing and doing some great things, and we get to partner with them. And we can be involved in our city, helping with tutoring, after-school programs, backpacks for kids that are in need, all kinds of opportunities to be involved in our city. and then our world with all of our missionaries and mission trips. And we're so excited to hear more about what God is doing in the Dominican Republic and opportunities that we have as a church to get involved and to make an impact there as well. And so come to one of our growth track classes. I encourage you, we're going to have that in the fall. And so we encourage you to come to that and join us for that. And then last is to try out a ministry. Just take a step of faith and try out. You're not locked into this. If you go help with the junior high, you're not, Saquon's not going to handcuff you and make you stay for the rest of your life. But try it out. Try our children's ministry. Try our food bank. Try something. And if it's not a good fit, we can figure that out for you and get you involved. But ultimately, as I said, we want to create this lifestyle of service, this heart of service, the heart of Jesus that he models for us to be servants for him. And so I encourage you to spend some time in prayer, asking God to search your heart. If there's any pride there, to ask him to help you to get rid of that pride and to begin to pray for opportunities and look for ways that God can use you to serve him and serve his kingdom and this community. Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, for this, your church. I thank you, Lord, as I look out and see so many that are serving you and making a difference for you and your kingdom. God, as I think about all that takes place on a Sunday morning, Lord, and all the difference makers and people behind the scenes that do so many things, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for the hearts of the people that desire to serve and love you. So God, I pray that you today challenge us, Lord, to look for those opportunities, to have that heart of Jesus, Lord, to see people, to help people that are in need, and to love them and share the love of Jesus with them. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.